Support for WYPR comes from the Park School of Baltimore's Saturday morning Rise and Shine activity sessions for children 3 to 5 years of age. Nature expedition through the Park School woods is April 20th. parkschool.net/shine.
Good morning. I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. The pandemic is blanketing anxiety about health and the pain of grief, on top of financial stress that is falling much more heavily on some people than others. People who may never have had mental health issues before now find themselves having a rough time coping. In a few minutes, we'll talk with the clinical director of the Pro Bono Counseling Project, which partners with Baltimore area foundations to support a helpline for callers who want to talk through problems. First, we'll meet Dr. Jonathan Shepherd, Chief Medical Officer of Hope Health Systems, a large for-profit provider of mental health services to children and families. Dr. Shepherd, a board-certified adolescent and adult psychiatrist, is also board president of the Black Mental Health Alliance. When we spoke in March, I asked him to describe the mental health issues he's seeing in this pandemic.
Well, I'm seeing so many. I say that really we are having a concurrent pandemic, a mental health pandemic, which will probably outlast the COVID-19 pandemic and even have further consequences due to the COVID-19 pandemic. There are even studies that are out right now that are talking about that 30% of the people who have suffered from COVID-19 will have post-traumatic stress disorder. What is that saying? That these persons will have possibly nightmares, increased anxiety, hypersensitivity, really a traumatic response to experiencing the virus that so many of us have been fearful of. But Sheila, what I do is I summarize it into three A's, truthfully: anxiety, anger, and apathy. Those are the three things that I have seen permeate throughout the country. Anxiety, number one, people are on edge because this is an unprecedented event. We don't know when it's going to end. It came upon us. We didn't understand it. And so even with the vaccines, people are still hesitant because there's anxiety about taking a known cure for the disease. And yet people are very anxious about whether or not should they take it or not. So that's number one. Number two, anger. People are angry because, again, they were not expecting this pandemic to take place. It has disrupted all of our lives. Everyone across the globe has been disrupted. And so there's anger about not being able to live our lives like we used to live. Graduations, ceremonies that we were expecting to take place in 2021, conventions, inability to even gather with our family members. Grandparents are angry because they can't meet with their grandchildren, who some of them have never seen before. So there's a lot of anger. And then apathy, that's the last one. Apathy simply means lack of motivation. Lack of motivation to continue to adhere to the guidelines. Lack of motivation to do what is being asked of us to do when it comes to maintaining social distance, physical distancing, wearing your mask, washing your hands. We're coming up on a whole year now. And so apathy has set in. People have stopped dreaming. People have said, why even go forward with my dreams, with my goals? And so those are the three things that I have seen throughout this pandemic.
Do these manifest differently in young people than in adults?
Oh, absolutely. So with young people, you may see more increased irritability. Again, adults may be anger, but the most common symptom of mood disorders within young people is irritability. And so sometimes we think that young people are being disrespectful, they're being disengaged, but a lot of them are just depressed, just like the adults are. Adults, you may see more of the affect, where more depressed mood and sadness, but for young people, absolutely. Also what we see with young people is isolation. Again, that can be also seen in adults, but when your young person stops talking, when they start spending more time in their bedroom than outside and they're not speaking to you, you should be concerned. That's the time when you need to knock on that door and say, come on, let's have a conversation. Come on, let's take a ride. Come on, let's figure out what's going on with you to make sure that no young person is left behind.
Among adults, what kind of impact are you seeing people's financial situation, like losing work, have on their mental health?
Yes. I mean, the pandemic has definitely ravaged people's finances, even doctors, my colleagues, they have lost positions. They've lost jobs. With the fact that now people are no longer working or unemployed, again, it adds on a whole different layer of burden, especially within communities of color. One of the things that I speak strongly about is how is it in our country that the wealth gap continues to expand? The global healthcare crisis hit everybody, but yet our stock market continues to grow and the level of people in poverty continues to grow. There's something wrong with that. We have got to figure out how to be able to bring closure in between this wealth gap. With that wealth gap comes people who are trying to live, make ends meet. They're no longer able to work their part-time jobs, or if they have to work their part-time jobs, they are exposing themselves to the virus. That's one of the major reasons why Black communities were disproportionately affected. It wasn't just because the virus came after Black people, which some people really actually thought. It's because we actually had to go out and work. Only 20% of Black people could actually stay at home. The other 80% had to go out and work, so they were exposed to the virus when people told us to stay at home. The healthcare advisors told us to stay at home. And so financially, people have been trying to make ends meet, and so it's been very difficult.
That's psychiatrist Dr. Jonathan Shepherd, board president of the Black Mental Health Alliance. On the record on WIPR, I'm Sheila Cast. We're speaking about some of the ways the pandemic is affecting mental health. So you do not expect the surge we're seeing in mental health issues to abate when the pandemic winds down?
Absolutely not. Actually, I expect for it to continue to increase exponentially. I will say this, Sheila, when the pandemic struck, I went 3 months, almost 4 months, with a 100% show rate. Not one person canceled. And even if they did cancel, they rescheduled. And I had to even see them some on weekends, which I said I would not do when I opened the practice or when I started working with Hope Health Systems. Yes, people are going to have lingering effects because, again, we were caught off guard and people were traumatized. And so I really expect for these mental health conditions to last for a long time. You know, there's a condition called long haulers for those persons who have been affected by the coronavirus, and they have neurological manifestations. They have heart manifestations, other manifestations within their body. Even though they had the virus 12 months ago, there's still lingering effects. And I believe that the mental health effects will be one of those lingering effects.
It's often said that Black people are especially resilient. I mean, you're in the thick of it. What do you want to say when you hear that?
Yeah, you know, Black people are resilient. We came over to this country over 400 years ago. We're still here and we're not going anywhere. So yes, we're resilient. The problem I have with that statement is that people will take it to an extent to say that we are superhuman and we're not superhuman. I have a problem with those practitioners who do not treat Black people the way in which they treat others. Case in point, why is it that studies have shown that Black people get less narcotics or less pain-killing medication when they approach the emergency room, if they're in the middle of a sickle cell crisis? How dare we challenge if that person is drug-seeking? That bothers me because there's so many other people who are drug-seeking, and yet we don't scrutinize them the same way because of a different skin color. We have a problem in our society, and I speak strongly against that. And so, yes, Black people, we're resilient. We will be here. We're not going anywhere, but we also need to be treated like human beings.
What would you say is the biggest barrier patients encounter as they try to access counseling or treatment for mental health issues?
I would say the biggest barrier is cost. A lot of people say it's stigma, but I really believe that we're doing a good job in reducing stigma, but cost is the biggest barrier. And again, the research pans out to show that. How is it that in this country that healthcare is a privilege and not a right? If you don't have a certain job or your job doesn't provide you certain benefits, then you can't get healthcare benefits. And that is a shame. And then even if you do get healthcare benefits through your EAP, Employment Assistance Program, then they only give you, what, 5 sessions to handle your depressive episodes? Since when did we start quantifying how many settings it takes to handle a depressive episode? We have a problem in this country when it comes to dealing with mental health issues and how to be able to treat it appropriately.
What positive changes do you think might come out of what we're living through, if any?
Oh, yeah. I believe there's going to be a lot of positive changes. Number one, the methodology in which we are providing treatment. And that really has seen through telehealth. So there have been changes that have been seen in the methodology in which we're performing mental health services. And let me tell you that the satisfaction surveys have shown that people are content. People are satisfied with the delivery method of telehealth services. I believe that we will see that the continuance of telehealth services. What we have to do is fight for legislative policies that will continue this. Before the pandemic, believe it or not, we could not receive reimbursement for telehealth services at the same rate as face-to-face services. It was dramatically reduced. And so now everything's on an even playing field. We couldn't even see people in their home for telehealth services. They actually had to come out and be at a different location while the doctor or physician could be at home. That doesn't make sense. If we're going to provide services to be able to get to the people, we have to make sure that everything is equal and makes sense to how we provide that care. I also believe we're going to continue to see a resurgence of people wanting to go into medicine. We've seen more and more people apply to go into medicine because, again, people want to help. People want to be able to provide that care. And so I'm looking for this resurgence to continue to happen over the next number of years.
Something to hope for. I appreciate your talking to us, Dr. Shepherd. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate being with you.
Psychiatrist Dr. Jonathan Shepherd is Chief Medical Director of Hope Health Systems and Board President of the Black Mental Health Alliance. More information at the On the Record page at WYPR.org, including details about the Alliance's May 18th Facebook event, Mind Health Shop Talks. Short break now on the record. I'm Sheila Cass. Stay with us.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Hi, I'm Al Waller.
I'm Catherine Collinson.
And I'm Hala Vince.
In the coming episodes of Clear Path, Your Roadmap for Life, we'll be sharing five advantages of health savings accounts and also some key findings from a new report on the rapidly evolving workplace. You can find the Clear Path, Your Roadmap for Life podcast on WYPR's website and mobile app, wherever you get your podcasts, and at transamericainstitute.org.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. Every day, 211 fields hundreds of calls from Marylanders who need help of some kind. Calls like this one.
211 Maryland, this is Valerie. May I help you?
Yes, ma'am. I have rent coming up and I'm worried. I just don't know what to do. Just exhausted. I've been trying to lower rent. It's too high here. I'm not going to be able to afford it. I'm sorry. It's just so emotional.
Yeah, that's okay. It's pretty stressful. You know, another thing, this has nothing to do with finances, but, you know, if you need somebody to talk to, there's a phone counseling program that you might find useful called the Pro Bono Counseling Project, if you want that number.
Okay.
I'll have that for you in just a second.
Well, thank you so much.
The free counseling line that 211 specialist Valerie suggested, the nonprofit Pro Bono Counseling Project, offers professional counseling at no charge each year to thousands of Marylanders. In March, I spoke with its director of clinical services, Sherry Bloom. I asked her to describe the mission of the Pro Bono Counseling Project.
The mission of the Pro Bono Counseling Project is to ensure that Marylanders with limited resources requesting mental health care are provided access to volunteer licensed mental health professionals and other necessary supportive services.
How have things at Pro Bono Counseling Project changed during the pandemic?
So, you know, we serve people from across Maryland and from all walks of life who are having difficulty accessing mental health counseling for concerns like depression and anxiety, stress, grief, and trauma. Our clients include individuals and adults and couples and children and really are representative of the racial, ethnic, and cultural diversity of Maryland. We've noticed that callers have really expressed an increase in depression and grief and trauma. The ongoing pandemic is really causing a lot of callers to experience heightened levels of things that they may have experienced before. So they're reaching out for support. Since July, over 200 callers told us that this was their first time seeking counseling ever. That's a really large amount of callers reaching out for support. And then since April,
a year ago, 2020,
over 370 callers actually told us that COVID-19 was the main reason that they were seeking support.
Help me put those numbers in sort of a context. How many people does Pro Bono Counseling Project serve with counseling every year?
We serve over 3,000 clients over the year, and we have an amazing 800 providers, licensed providers that do that type of counseling for our callers. It's really amazing.
So when you say licensed providers, these are professionals, like professional psychologists and other clinicians?
We have social workers, marriage and family therapists, licensed professional counselors, really all disciplines in the counseling the world. They join us and they do the counseling for free for our callers.
They volunteer their time.
They volunteer their time. And typically in a year, we have about 100 new volunteers that come on. And in response to the pandemic, we actually had 125 new volunteers enroll with us between March and December. That's incredible. They're very generous people that are donating their time.
And how are clients and clinicians connected?
Callers reach out to us, and we are very unique, and we treat each caller uniquely. So we don't ask for income verification. We don't ask for caller social security number. And in that way, we are really breaking barriers. The callers have let us know before that they've reached out to get counseling in the past, and they've been told, no, you can't afford it. No, we don't have a clinician that matches the race or the gender identity or the age or the style of counseling that you're looking for. We really understand at the Pro Bono Counseling Project that the greatest predictor of client success is the fit between the clinician and the caller. So we actually ask callers, you know, what do you think would be a good fit? What type of therapist are you looking for? And we really would work hard to make that good match. We're kind of matchmakers.
This is On the Record on WYPR. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with Sherry Bloom, a licensed clinical social worker who is clinical director of the nonprofit Pro Bono Counseling Project. So help me understand, you also have a warm line, which is separate from your main number. The warm line is for people who don't quite want to get started with counseling?
So if a caller is experiencing an increase in depression, grief, anxiety, trauma, and they're not sure that they want ongoing counseling, but they really want to talk to a licensed social worker, they can call our warm line and talk directly to a social worker for some support. If callers really want to explore ongoing counseling, they can call our general number at Pro Bono Counseling Project and schedule a confidential phone interview where we'll ask them questions that are going to help us determine with the caller the type of therapist that would be most appropriate and helpful.
The number for the Warm Line is 410-598-0234. 410-598-0234. I'll give that number again at the end of the show. Those calls are answered Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. And the main number of the Pro Bono Counseling Project is 410-825-1001. 410-825-1001. And that's staffed weekdays 8 a.m. to 4 p.m.
That's right.
Tell me about some of the people who call you.
We have callers that are talking about being depressed for several months after losing their jobs. We have callers experiencing domestic violence, but they really are barely able to find a private space to make a call. We have frontline workers that are seeking support to cope with grief of losing patients, not being able to hug their own children. We also have callers that have told us in the past, you know, I've been hurt by the system. I felt left down. We had a trans person of color who had been in counseling it before, but told us that they never really felt that the therapist understood their culture or their gender-based struggles. And so they said, I'm just reaching out again and hoping that you could actually make a good fit. So these are the types of callers that we're hearing from, much like the caller that we heard from at the beginning of this program.
The call that we heard to 211 from the person who didn't know how they'd pay their rent, is that typical?
It is. You know, callers are experiencing such trauma. However, if we can't get our needs met at the basic level, we're not having income, so we can't put food on the table for our children. We don't know if the rent's going to be able to be paid. That's where United Way comes in, and they've been wonderful. Their resource specialists are amazing. So if the callers can get their needs met at the basic level, they can have more opportunities to discuss the ongoing depression or grief or anxiety that they're expressing and feeling.
At some point, we don't know when, the pandemic will be mostly over. Do you expect your caseload to look like it did a year ago?
I really think that because the pandemic has been happening for so long, there's compounded traumas and complicated grief that's going to need to be addressed by our clinicians for many, many months after the pandemic perhaps goes away, which I hope is soon. I think the clinicians that volunteer their time with us are going to be spending lots of time digging into trauma that those callers are experiencing, and it's going to take a while to heal that trauma.
Do you see the seeds of anything good coming from the pandemic?
I do. You know, when callers began to start reaching out to us, they were saying, Sherry, how are you doing? And it wasn't the casual, oh, how are you doing? They wanted to know how I was doing as a means of connection. So I think that we've learned that connecting to others is so important for health, for well-being, and for growth. And Pro Bono Counseling Project provides access to callers who otherwise wouldn't have that access. And the clinicians that have enrolled with us providing that access, I just think is incredible and gives me lots of hope.
Sherry, I'm grateful to you for talking to us. Good luck with what you're doing.
Thank you so much. And thank you so much for having me and for highlighting the Pro Bono Counseling Project.
Sherry Bloom is the clinical director of the nonprofit Pro Bono Counseling Project. Its confidential interview line is 410-825-1001. Again, 410-825-1001. We've listed it at the On the Record page at WYPR.org. Also there is the number for the Counseling Project's Warm Line. If you want to talk but not necessarily start a counseling relationship, the Warm Line is 410-598-0234. Again, 410-598-0234. We also have links for their upcoming events, including a virtual conversation about preventing suicide among African American youth on May 26th. On the Record's director and engineer is Nathan Sterner. Maureen Harvey and Melissa Gear produced the program. John Ahrens wrote and recorded the On the Record theme music. Jamila Krempel is WYPR's digital content director. I'm your host, Sheila Cast. Very glad you're with us on The Record. Join us again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks!